Boker Tov, we continue on with our study of the Agadah of Esther. We were in the middle of discussing the Sheva Neviot and covered the psukim that detailed the Neviot of Sarah, the Neviot of Sarah, Miriam, Chana, Devorah, and Avigail. And now we pick up in the middle of that discussion with Chuldah. Chuldah, how do we know Chuldah was a Neviyah? Etc. Look at the first pasuk on the page. V'shafan v'asaya el chulda hanneviyah. So she was chulda hanneviyah. We'll get back to that pasuk in a few minutes. Now, v'makom nekayimiyahu echem min yaba yihi. How could this chulda, who clearly was not the most significant prophetess of the era, because Yirmiyahu was alive at the time, how could she accept the position of leadership in the presence of Yirmiyahu? So Amrin Rei Rav, Mishmei de Rav, we have two explanations. First is the name of Rav. Chulda Kovat Yirmiyah Haita. Chulda was a cousin of Yirmiyah, she was related to him. And therefore he did not mind that she would be addressed as a Neviyah while he was still around. Now, that puts the question in the second direction. Yoshiyahu Gufei, Hechi Shavik Yirmiyah, Meshach Legabah. So why didn't Yoshiyahu the king go to Chulda for her explanation of what this scroll that was found inside the Beit HaMikdash meant, as opposed to going to Yirmiyahu? The answer given is very strange. Because women naturally have more compassion. It makes it sound as if the fact that she is naturally more compassionate than Yirmiyahu means her interpretation of the text will be in a more compassionate manner. Okay? Rabbi Yochanan has a different explanation than that of Rav as to why the Chulda was addressed. Yirmiyahu had left the country. Because he went to return the northern tribes that had been exiled 100 years earlier, 100+ years earlier, to return them to Judea. How do we know that they came back? Yechezkel, who's giving this prophecy between the exile of Yehoyachin, in other words, after Yirmiyahu, after this event of Yirmiyahu, between the exile of Yehoyachin and the exile of Tzidkiyahu, so prophesizes that eventually the day will come when the person who sells will not have to sell it, will not get his land back. In other words, the Yovel will be canceled. Could it be that the Yovel was already suspended and a Navi is giving prophecy that it will be suspended? That doesn't make any sense. There's no impact to that prophecy. Now just a bit of an introduction here. Halachically, the Yovel is only in effect when not only Am Yisrael is in Eretz Yisrael, and not only when a majority of Am Yisrael is in Eretz Yisrael, but when all of the Shvatim are residing on their proper land. So we have to posit here that what Yirmiyahu did was not just to return the lost tribes, but also to settle at least some members of them on their ancestral land, Naphtali and Asher in the north, and Reuven and Gad on the east bank, etc. Okay? So, L'malei Yirmiyahu echziran Yoshiyahu ben Amon malach aleihem. So this teaches us that Yirmiyahu went and returned the lost tribes, and Yoshiyahu, the king, ruled over them. What's the proof that Yoshiyahu ruled over them? So we have to go back to the very beginning of the split of the kingdom. In Malachim Aleph Perek Yud Gimel, there is a passage in which a man, a Navi, comes to Yeravam ben Nevat's altar in Beit El and gives prophecy. One day a king will arise from Beit David, his name is Yoshiyahu, and he will come and destroy this Mizbeach. Yeravam, understandably, was very upset. And then the whole event with the Tzarat, Tichtiv, Ayorah Matzun Allah, Zashar Ani Ro'eh, and when Yoshiyahu eventually does make his way to Beit El, he says, what's that marker? That is the burial place of the Navi who came from Yehuda 200 years ago and gave prophecy. More than 200 years ago, gave prophecy that you are going to come and destroy this Mizbeach. Good. So the question is, why was Yoshiyahu in Beit El at all? Beit El, after all, is part of the north. It's north of the kingdom of Yehuda. So it proves to you that Yoshiyahu took over some of the north and ruled over the northern tribes. Now, Rav Nachman Amar Mehacha, he has a different proof that Yoshiyahu ruled over them. That this pasuk, which is in Sefer Hosea, is a prophecy that my nation, meaning the northern tribes, will be returned. So that happened in that time. Good. So now that's how we know Huldah was a prophetess. Esther, in the beginning of chapter 5, which is where we're holding now in our interpretation, Esther, it says about Esther that on the third day she put on royalty. It should say clothes of royalty. It means she was engarbed or enclothed by Ruach HaKodesh, by prophecy. Very famous pasuk in Divrei Hayamim says the spirit enclothed Amasai, Rosh HaShalishim, the head of David's army, at least for a short period of time. Good. Amar Rav Nachman, lo yaya hiruta lenashi. Haughtiness is inappropriate in women. Tarte nashi yihiran havin, there were two haughty women, Vesanyan Shmayo, and they have hateful names. This is a play on Dvaran Chulda. Charashma Ziburta, which is Aramaic for bee. Charashma Kakushta, the other one is Kakushta, which is Aramaic for rat, which is what a Chulda is. Ziburta, Ktiba, which is often called Barak. That Dvara did not go to Barak, but she sent for Barak, as if she was greater than he. She didn't go to him. Karkushta, what does it say about Chulda? Ktiba, Imrula Ish. She sent a message to Yoshiyahu, which she said, tell the man. And she didn't say, Imrula Melech. So, both of them demonstrated some haughtiness. Now, Amram Nachman, we go back to Chulda. We're still not back in the Megillah. Chulda, Mimlevanav Shul Yoshiyahu Haita. Yoshua Haita. Chulda was a descendant of Yehoshua bin Nun. Tivacha ben Charchas, in the opening pasuk, which I told you we'd get back to, in the opening pasuk on the page, that introduces Chulda, it says, she is Eshet Shalom ben Tikva ben Charchas. The truth is, that's really the yichus of her husband, but the mention of the name all the way back indicates that there's some connection with Charchas. Tivata v'timnat Cheres, and Yehoshua himself was buried in a place called, two versions, Timnat Serach or Timnat Cheres. So Cheres and Charchas, they connect. Eitu Rav Eina Sabal Rav Nachman. We have a challenge against this statement. That Rachav HaZonah ended up being the mother or the grandmother or whatever, the matriarch, of a family that had eight prophets who were all Kohanim. Neriah, Baruch, Usraya, Machsayah, Yirmiyah, Chilkiyah, Hanamel, v'Shalum. So they're all listed. Chulda is not listed. Yehuda Omer, Af Chulda Neviyah, Meivaneh Asher Rachav HaZonah Haita. Aha, so now we're miyaches her to Rachav, not to Yoshua. So, k'tivacha ben tikva, k'tivata ben tikva chuta shani. Why do I make the connection with Chulda and Rachav? Because, again, back to Pasuk Aleph, she's married to Shalom ben tikva. And tikva, the piece of rope that is the word used by the spies when they come to Yericho, and they tell Rachav how to mark her house to put tikva chuta shani outside of the house. So that associates now Chulda with Rachav. So we have Chulda associated with Yoshua, Chulda associated with Rachav. So what's the answer? Amarle ein asava. So his answer is the old man's eye. V'yamrila patya uchma, or black bread, meaning minim minachtistayim shmaita. Between the two of us, we'll figure out what it means. I say it's Yoshua, you say it's Rachav. The answer is diigaryo nesavai Yoshua, that Rachav was converted and Yoshua married her. So she is the descendant of Rachav and of Yoshua. Yoshua, since when did Yoshua have sons? Nun b'no Yoshua b'no. In the genealogy of Ephraim, in Sefer Divrei Yamim, it says Nun and then Yoshua, and that's the end of the line. Yoshua had no sons. The answer is Bani lo havule, Bantan havule. He didn't have any sons, he had daughters, and those daughters ended up marrying at some point Kohanim, and those children eventually were Kohanim, who were Nevi'im, the most famous of which was Yirmiyahu. Now, Bishma Inhu Mifrashi. Alright, so I understand that these Nevi'im are mentioned explicitly. So for instance, I know that Baruch is a Navi because Baruch was the scribe of Yirmiyahu, etc. Alright. However, Ela Avatayu, how do I know? Because in that list of the eight Nevi'im that we had people who are never mentioned in the text as Nevi'im. They're mentioned as the fathers of Nevi'im. Like Yirmiyahu ben Chilkiyahu. So Chilkiyahu is the father of a Navi. The answer is a basic methodological tool of reading genealogies. Kedula. Tamarula Kola Kom Shishmo Vashem Aviv bin Viyut. Anytime that a Navi is mentioned with his father's name, like Yeshayahu ben Amotz, Hoshea ben Be'iri, Yaduashu Navi ben Navi, that proves to you that his father was also a Navi. Shmo Veloshem Aviv, if it just mentions his name without his father's name, like Micha Hamorashti, as an example, Yadua Shehu Navi Velo Ben Navi, that proves to you that he's not the son of a Navi. And we continue on with the methodology. Shmo Veshem Yerom Furash, if his name is his city's name, like Amos Mitkoa, right? Yadua Shehu Yotayir, so we know he's from there. Shmo Veloshem Yerom, if it doesn't give a city name, like Yishayo Ben Amotz, that proves to you that he's from Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim is the default city. Anytime that a person's character or behavior is opaque, and then it lists a genealogy, and one of them, in the genealogy, we know how they behave in a good way. So you know that everybody in the line is good, because they're all mentioned in connection with the tzaddik, because they're all tzaddikim. And the same thing, if you have a whole list of people, and you don't know anything about them, and one of them you know is bad, the man who eventually assassinated Gedaliah, you know that they're all bad. Otherwise, it would not list them in the same breath as this bad guy. Now, we have a little bit more of identity of Nevi'im. Malachi. Who is Malachi? The prophet whose works are recorded in the book of Malachi is unknown as to his identity. He evidently gave prophecy in around the year 465 or so BCE. This is around the time that the Mikdash is still standing, but before Ezra made Aliyah. However, who is Malachi? So there's two ways to interpret it. Three ways to interpret it. One of his name is Malachi. Second of all, Malachi is some sort of a symbolic name for him. And the third is, Malachi just means my messenger. That's the way the Septuagint interprets it. Angelomoi, my angel, as it were, my messenger. All right, so here the Chazal say, Malachi is a Mordechai. They say Mordechai was Malachi. So why is he called Malachi? So it's a play on word Malach and Melech. He's second to the Melech. Meitevei Baruch ben Neriyahu Shreya ben Maaseyah Machseyah v'Daniel Mordechai Bilshan. There's a whole list of people who all gave prophecy in the second year of Doyavish, and includes Mordechai and Malachi. So Tiyufta, that proves that Mordechai can't be Malachi. Malachi is Ezra. New opinion, Malachi is Ezra. Malachi Shmo. Chachamim said, no, his name is Malachi. Malachi is Ezra. It makes sense that it's Ezra. Why? Malachi in Malachi. Famously, it says, Bagdah Yehudah v'toivah nestav Yisrael. Yehudah is rebelled. V'yishalayim. Ki chalal Yehudah kodesh adonai shahev v'ahev v'al bat el nechar. Essentially, Yehudah has whored after other women. Uman afish nashim nachyod. Who was the famous one who separated Jews from foreign wives? Ezra. That's a very famous thing about Ezra. T'chli v'yan shchanyav v'nechiyav v'nei elam v'yom v'ezra anachnu ma'alnu v'elohenu v'noshim nashim nachyod. He admits that we did a terrible thing against God. And verse 14 on the page, and we have taken foreign women. And that's, of course, the most famous thing that Ezra did in the early years of being Miyaches Am Yisrael and clearing up the Yichus, etc. Tan Rabbanan, Arban Hashim Yefefiyot Hayu Ba'olam. There are four gorgeous women in history. Sarah, Avigail, we've already talked about the two of them, Rachav, Ve'Esther. Uleman Damar Esther Yakroket Ata. According to the opinion, Esther was really sallow-skinned, but her kindness overcame that. Mapigester Mayo Vashti, but then the fourth is Vashti. Tana Rabbanan, Rachav Bishma Zinta. Rachav would entice people with her name. Ya'el Bekola. Ya'el's voice was so beautiful. That's how she got Sisera to have relations with her, according to Midrash. Avigail Bizchirata. Avigail, all you have to do is remember who she was. Michal Bat Shaul Biriata. Michal, you took a look at her. She was beautiful. Yitzchak Kolam Rachav Rachav Miyad Nikri. So Yitzchak says anybody who says Rachav's name immediately has an emission. Amar Nachman, I'm not Mina Rachav Rachav Lech Patli. Rav Nachman said, I could say it all day. It doesn't matter. Marli Kigamina Biyodav Makira. I don't mean somebody saying Rachav. I mean somebody who knows Rachav and who knew what she looked like and been in her company. Then if he would say Rachav, he immediately gets so excited. Good. We go now back to the text of the Megillah. Mordechai yada kol asher na'asa. This now goes back to the beginning of Perek Dalet. And Mordechai knew about Haman, the decree, etc. Mayamar. Avamar gava Haman me'achashverosh. What was it that he saw? That Haman had overcome Achashverosh. Shmuel Amar gavar malke ilam imalka tatoa. Says that the supernal king, meaning HaKadosh Baruch Hu, has overcome the lower king, meaning Achashverosh. But really, it's euphemistic to say the opposite. It's as if the human king is usurping God's power. And so when Esther hears that Mordechai is walking around in torn clothes, Vatitchalchal hamalka meyod. She started shaking. My vatitchalchal. Amarav shepersan nida. She suddenly had menstrual flow. Rabbi Amar shetzuchal in kevah. Since she had to go to the bathroom. In other words, something shook her body up. Vatikraster la hatach. So she called hatach when she first sent the clothes and Mordechai refused to take them. Then she sent hatach to find out what was going on. Who is hatach? Amarav hatach zed Daniel. We suddenly bring in Daniel from Sefer Daniel, and he's now a saris in the palace. Why is he called Hatach? He'd been cut down from his greatness. I don't know if there's an intentional pun here on the fact that Hatach is a saris, a eunuch, and the cut down, but I'll leave that to your imagination. He has the opposite take. He's Hatach because all matters of the kingdom are decided based on his word, which is interesting to give to a lowly saris, but okay. Badat mazeh v'yal mazeh. So the Esther wanted to know what's going on. Amav Yitzchak shalchalo. So the phrasing mazeh v'yal mazeh shalchalo shem avri Yisrael chamishachum shei Torah. Maybe Am Yisrael has violated the Torah. Tichtivan mizeh u'mizehim tuvim. That's mazeh v'yal mazeh. Mizeh u'mizehim tuvim. That the tablets were written on both sides. Mizeh u'mizeh. No, v'yagin le Mordechai tivrei Esther. So Esther said, I refuse to go in because I can't go into the king without being called, and he hasn't called me in 30 days. Mordechai gets the word, In other words, Hatach didn't come back, some other guy came back, which means you never come back to give bad news. You send somebody else. Somebody sends you to ask or make a request, and the request is denied, send somebody else to come back and give the news. Lech knoset kol ha'yudim. So Esther said, bring all the Jews together to fast. In other words, what happened here? Esther said, I'll fast for 3 days. Everybody else fast for 3 days. I'll come to the king on the third day. And asher lo chadat, which literally means against protocol because I haven't been summoned. What's the asher lo chadat here? Every other time the king would have me, it would be against my will. That's how I would internally deal with it, such that it was not considered to be out-and-out adultery. Again, picking up on the theme of Esther being married to Mordechai. But now I'm stepping forward, which means that now if we have relations, it'll be Baratzon. And therefore she says that if I'm lost, I'm lost. Just like I'll be lost to my family, I'm lost to you also, because now I can't have relations with you anymore because I voluntarily violated our marriage. The pasuk goes on, Vayavor Mordechai. Mordechai then went through the city. What's Vayavor Mordechai? Rav Shehavir Yom Rishon Shal Pesach B'Tanit. Meaning that he sort of suspended the first day of Yom Tov of Pesach and instead was fasting. Shmuel Amar Da'avar Arkuma Demaya. He says Vayavor means he crossed over a river. In other words, he went everywhere to tell people to fast. We already had this drasha. Bigdei Machut Ibarilei. Ozum Rachanin Yom Bameshla Hashtar Ruach HaKodesh. Tivach HaTubash. So on the third day, Esther was engarbed by royalty, meaning the Holy Spirit. Be very careful not to disregard the bracha of a simple person, meaning a lay person. There are two great people who were blessed by two simple people, and it happened. David and Daniel. David was blessed by Aravna, and Daniel was blessed by Daryavish. Of course, Aravna was an important landowner, and Daryavish is the king, but nonetheless, they're considered citizens. David, the Barchei Aravna, this is the very end of Sefer Shmuel, the Tiva, Yom Aravna, El HaMelech, Adonai Elohecha Yotzecha, God should accept your korban. And indeed, that's what happened. when David bought the threshing floor and later became the Beit HaMikdash. Daniel, the Rache, the Yavish, Tichtiv, Eloah, the Ant, Palachle, Betadira, the God that you always serve, who Yishez Vinach, he should save you. And indeed, and don't be too quick to disregard the curse of a simple person. Avimelech, who's not a head goat, he's a king, he cursed Sarah when Baruch Hu first filled the Shemayim with the water and then placed them over the earth. Very famous adage, if you quote a word of wisdom or of Torah in somebody's name, and you mention their name, you bring redemption to the world. When Esther reported to the king about the plot to kill him on the part of Bigtan Teresh, she said it in the name of Mordechai, and that's, of course, what led to the redemption. When a tzaddik dies, it's the loss of the generation. It's like a person who loses a jewel. It is wherever it is. It's not lost to itself. It's that the master doesn't, the owner doesn't have it. Same thing. A tzaddik dies, he's still a tzaddik wherever he is, but the generation loses it. That's mentioned only because of the same quote of Rabbi Elazar in the name of Rabbi Chanina. This comes back to Haman coming out of the first party and being so upset when he sees Mordechai not bowing down. He says, all the great stuff that I have here and being invited to the party and everything else is worth nothing to me as long as Mordechai is there. Haman didn't say it when he got home. He said it when he saw Mordechai. Alright, in other words, this one is coming with wealth and this coming one is coming with poverty. Alright, so Pruzbuli is Osher and Chavod, Pruzbuli is wealth, and Pruzbuti is poverty. Right? In other words, that Mordechai knew, according to the Midrash, that Haman really came from a very humble background, and that and he was pointing to Mordechai and saying, Chose Enenu Shaveli, meaning I don't really own any of all this stuff because Mordechai knows my secret. And they would call Haman the servant who was sold for bread. This is based on the Midrash that later shows up in Targum Sheni of Esther, that Haman sold himself as a slave to Mordechai. In the Targum Sheni, it's because to get rations for his army, etc. The other version of Hosein and Mishaveli, interpretation is that Haman was pointing to himself and saying, it's not worth anything to me, meaning that he had taken all of his wealth and put it onto his heart. Meaning he'd engraved it onto a stone. Anytime you see Mordechai, point to it and say, it's not worth anything to me. Again, this transmission of Allah in the name of Chanina, Agadav theirs, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu eventually will be a crown on the head of every tzaddik. God will eventually be an ateret tzvi. My ateret tzvi l'tzvirat tifarah, losin tzivyonol mtzapin tifarto, those who support HaKadosh Baruch Hu's character in the world and anticipate God's greatness. Yachol lakol, I might think he'll be a crown for everybody. Tamud lamar l'sh'aramo, if you look at the end of the pasuk, which is Pasuk 21 on the page. It's the Sha'aramo for the rest of his people. What's that? It's like somebody who treats himself like he's relatively marginal. In other words, not somebody who's haughty. Uluruach mishpat zehadanet yitzro. This is only for people who judge themselves and are always trying to correct themselves. Uliyoshev al mishpat zehadan dinam et lamito. V'lig v'raz v'gaber al yitzro. In other words, this pasuk only refers to people who are very careful to judge themselves and to continue to analyze their own behavior, to judge properly, to study Torah regularly, to be mikabel yitzro, etc. That's for whom HaKadosh Baruch Hu will be a crown in the future. He says, why are you saving this people and these people you're not saving? This is what the Malachim say. Why are you saving these people and you're not saving these? Amar l'Kodesh Baruch Hu, Yisrael asku b'Torah, Mot Olam lo asku b'Torah. So now, Yisrael, study Torah, so I'm going to save them. These people also drank and they did terrible things. Take that pasuk that we saw with Abigail yesterday. And we say this will be a cause for you to be, as it were, in hell. So paku is a reference to Gehinom. And pliliyah means some sort of felonious behavior. So Am Yisrael is also behaved that way. Right? But Am Yisrael also deserved to be punished. And that's the conversation that takes place, but of course, Baruch Hashem, constantly we are saved. So Esther comes in to the inner courtyard. Once she came in to the area where the idols were, on the inside, the Shechina left her. So, chapter 22 of Psalms, Ayelet HaShachar is credited to Esther. And the opening line, my God, why have you forsaken me, is what she says, and it's, why have you left me now? So maybe you're judging me harshly because I've done things, although they were inadvertent and against my will. Oshema al shikrativ kelev, maybe it's because I don't have enough regard for Achashverosh, and I refer to him as a kelev, as it says in that parak, Shema hatzila v'cherev nafshi, miyad kelev yichidati, save me from the dog. So she fixed it by calling him a lion. Shinamar, Hoshienu pi Aryeh, save me from the mouth of the lion. And what Chazal is essentially doing is dealing with the difficulty in verse 25, which is two psukim in a row, in which the penitent is asking God to save him from a dog and then from a lion. So it's a different attitude towards the enemy. Anyways, when the king saw Esther, he favored her. So we have Malachim in the palace helping Esther be recognized and favored by the king. One lifted up her neck. She shouldn't look down. She should look up. Even though she was fasting and felt weak. One that made her look smiling and kind. And the other one that lifted up the scepter. Of course, you wonder if you had the one that lifted up the scepter. You don't really need the other two. Chama, how long did he stretch the scepter? The scepter was 2 amot long, and he made it 12. Or 16. 24. Tanal Shishim, we have a version that says 60. That the scepter was stretched to 120 feet long, perhaps. Midrashically, when Bat Paro went to get Moshe in the basket, she sent her arm out. And the same thing happens with the teeth of the Rishayim when the gnat comes to affect them. And this is the story about Og holding the rock over Bnei Israel. You messed up their teeth. Their teeth were gnashing back and forth. In other words, the idea that the malach comes and disturbs this violent action. He heard a tradition that the scepter became 200 amot long. He said, what would you like, Esther? Until half the kingdom. Simple pshat in the pasuk is saying anything you want. But we interpret half the kingdom in chatsuya machut velo kol machut. I'll give you half the kingdom and not the whole kingdom. Or anything that's going to interfere with the kingdom. Again, using Seder Olam, the Mikdash has not yet been completed, and Achashverosh says, that I will not grant you. So she invited the king and Haman to a party. Why did Esther invite Haman? She planted traps for him. Make their table a trap for them. She learned it from her father's house. In if your enemy is hungry, feed him. Like the old adage says, you keep your friends close, you keep your enemies closer. She wanted to keep him close so he wouldn't have some chance to rebel. She wanted to keep her identity so secret that by inviting Haman, how would a Jewish girl invite Haman? So that's the best way to cover it up. So the opposite, when the Jews would hear that the queen had invited Haman to a party, then they would certainly not think, oh, we got our own girl in the palace and we went off to daven, everything's going to be fine. She wanted Am Yisrael to continue to be worried and to daven. She wanted Haman at arm's length, nearby, at all times, so she could always, at any point, surprise him and hurt him, and that's what she did. Shmuelasi says what Esther did was simply to keep Haman close, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu would see, oh my gosh, here Haman is in the presence of Esther, I better save Am Yisrael. She said, I'm going to look nice to him, so that the king will suspect us of colluding on something, and we'll both be killed. I'll give up my life to get him killed. Gamliel says that that the king is somebody who keeps changing his mind. So maybe I can get him to suddenly dislike Haman and get him killed. But with all of these explanations about why Esther invited him, we still need the opinion of Rabbi Elazar Moda'i. Rabbi Elazar Moda'i Yomer, Kinato Melech, Kinato B'Sarim. She simply wanted to get everybody jealous of Haman, and that, of course, what led to his downfall. Rabbi Marli, Fnei Shever Gaon. Rabbi, another explanation, which is pride goeth before fall, essentially. Rabbi Damar Tavayu, B'chumam Ashit Et Mishtehem. In other words, that Hashem sees them celebrating, and he's going to mess them up in that meal. And Rabbah Ravu al Eliyahu Amarle Kaman Chazia Esther Vavdahachi. So now Rabbah Baravua met Eliyahu and said, so tell us the truth. Why did Esther do this? Which one of these opinions is right? Malikahulu Tane Chula Murai. All of these opinions are right. They're all valid. Good. Now Haman, between the parties, gathered his family together and boasted about how great he is and how many kids he has. Chamarov Banav, how many kids did he have? Amarav Shloshim. He had 30. Asara Metu, 10 died in the war. Asara Nitlu, another 10 were hung. Asara Machazun Abtachi, and the other 10 are begging still on the doors. Varan Amriel Tanshu Machazun Abtachi, Shivim Avi says, no, it wasn't 10 who are going door to door to try to get some food, but rather 70. Tichtiv Sveim Balachem Niskaru in Tfilat Chana, Altegre Sveim Ela Shivim. Not that the ones who were formerly satiated are now hiring themselves out for bread, but rather, there's 70 who are going out to will beg for food. He says there are way more sons than that. There were 208 sons. Shnemar Virov Banav. Ay, Virov in Gematria Matan Ve'Arbeisar. Virov in Gematria is 214. Achmei Yitzchak Virov K'tiv. It's written Chaser without a Vav. The Gematria of Virov is 208. So you had 208 sons. Okay? Famously, the king could not sleep that night. This king now is a reference to God. The worlds are shaking. Rabbi says no, Achashverosh couldn't sleep. He was concerned. Why is Esther inviting Haman now to a second party? Maybe that you're going to kill me. That means I have nobody I could trust. I can't trust Haman, I can't trust my queen. David Modali, is there anybody who would tell me that I could trust? He said, so maybe there's somebody that I did a favor, that did a favor for me and I haven't paid him back, so people know it's not worth helping the king. So he had the chronicles be brought. And they were read. So like the book read themselves out loud. He saw that it was written. It should be it was that he found it to be written, not that it was written. So the idea was that it kept getting erased by this bad malach Shimshi, and Gabriel keeps writing it in. Look at this, something written in the king's journals in this world that could not be erased, because it helps Am Yisrael. Ktav Shalomal Lokosh, again, certainly if there's something written in the heavenly records, can't be erased if it's for Am Yisrael's help. Lo Nasayim Odavar, what was their answer when the king said what was done with Haman? Nothing happened. Rava Lom Neshu Avinit Mordechai Lom Neshu Sonin Haman. It's not because these kids love Mordechai so much, but they hate Haman so much, they knew that they were enemies, so they wanted to promote Mordechai. Hechin Lo, So in the meantime, Haman is coming to ask the king to hang Mordechai on the tree Asher Hechimo that he prepared for him. Tana lo hechim, meaning that Haman actually ended up preparing it for himself. In Yirtz Hashem, tomorrow we will finish the Agadah and finish the Perek, and everyone should have a wonderful day.